What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other path I know. Nothing
to you this morning the last four verses of Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 26. The word of the Lord reads, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." If the Lord would be with us this morning, I'd like to take these verses and apply them to the subject of your identity. Of your identity. I believe now more than ever, if there's ever been a time that the people of God should pay close attention to the subject of identity, it's a good time to. We live in a day and time when there is such confusion regarding that subject that even filling out a questionnaire or an application for a job or application for college becomes a challenge. They have gotten where it used to be when they'd ask you your gender. There was just two choices that you could check. And I'd venture to say that no matter how many different slots they give you to fill out, there's still just two choices. No matter what they may do to the outward flesh, it doesn't change your DNA. And the DNA tells us it's one of two. And the reason why that they're having to add so many is because of the confusion about people's identity. Man's to blame for that. You know, I went in a public restroom last year about this time in a gymnasium at a recreation department. And when I turned down the hall to go to the restroom, I had just arrived from work and there was a ball game going on, and I was trying to get in the restroom right quick and get out there to the ball game to watch it. And I saw a parent and a child turn down the aisle shortly behind me. Because I heard them coming, I kind of just did a quick glance and saw them behind me. And when I entered into the restroom, lo and behold, that child came in the restroom behind me. And it had a head of blonde hair down their back, way, you know, long hair. It came all the way down to the bottom of their back. And immediately the thought crossed my mind, I've gone in the wrong restroom. And I turned around and I looked at the sign on the door and I saw I went in the men's, and I looked at the parent and I said, "This is the men's restroom." And she said, "He's a boy." Now I was embarrassed to death. But you know, I shouldn't have been the one that was embarrassed. It should have been that parent had dressed their child and allowed him to look like a girl. And to say that somehow he's going to get that work, he's going to become more and more confused as he grows up. He has an identity. There's an identity problem going on. There's sometimes when you go places, when you look at someone, you don't know whether or not, a lot of times when the person that's serving the table where you're out to eat, whether they're a boy or a girl. And you know, some people would say, well, why does it matter? It just is sort of concerning to me that there's a reason why in the law of God that the Scripture tells the women not to dress as men and the men not to dress as women. God distinguished a difference between them. You say, hold on a minute now, Brother Will. You just read a verse that just said there's not male nor female. We'll get to there here in just a minute. But an identity. The Lord has given you some titles throughout His Word that identify you. You remember over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 in the 9th verse, the Scripture tells us that you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people, meaning a certain people. He gave you those titles to identify you, so that the people of faith would say that we are this because God gave us this identity. That's what He's given you the titles of. The reason why you're a chosen generation is because He chose you. The reason why you're a royal priesthood is because just as the priest over in the Old Testament had direct access unto the Lord, you, through your confidence and trust in the Word, you too have access to the Lord. You're a holy nation. He's called you out from among this world and charged you to be holy. He gave you those titles. You bear them. But you know, in a lot of ways, you and I can decide what we choose to identify ourselves with. And that's exactly in the conclusion of Galatians chapter 3 what I believe Paul is putting forth the point of in teaching us, how do you choose to identify yourself? How have you chosen to be identified by this word? How have you chosen to be identified by others of the faith? Have you considered these titles in the closing of this chapter? The first title that he tells them of is regarding a title of a faithful people. For you are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now the world will read that comment and they'll tell you, see, if you'll just exercise your faith, you'll be made a child of God and you'll become a child of God and you'll get to go to heaven. Well, if you reach in there and you just grab a verse and you take it completely out of context, not only in Galatians chapter 3, but if you take it out of context of the Scriptures altogether, you may be able to make that point. But we're not given the liberty to do that. If someone has faith, it's because they're already a born-again child of God. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit of God. It is not the seed of the Spirit of God. Do we understand the difference between fruit and seed? There's a difference between those two things. A seed brings forth fruit from the tree because of the presence of the seed. The fruit does not bring forth the seed. The seed brings forth the fruit. And the seed is the Word of God, the incorruptible Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have faith because that seed lives and dwells within you. You're born again by the power of the Holy Ghost. You're His child because He lives within you. But what you choose to do with what you already are, if you choose to be identified with Him, then you're being identified as being a child of God. For you're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The context is not the new birth. The context is at the conclusion of a chapter where faith is better. Are you concluding that it's better to be identified with the people of faith or with the people of this world? For you're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, are you choosing to be identified with the people of God, with the children of God? I'd venture to say that's a good group to be identified with, wouldn't it you? You ever considered all throughout the Word of God about the people that are identified by their faith? You know, Hebrews 11 mentions a slew of them from the Old Testament. By faith, Noah. Here's a man that's identified by faith. Noah is a man that was identified by his exercise of faith. How many of you in your heart of hearts and in your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ believe that Noah's in glory today? I believe he is because I believe that by his faith he lived a life of faith, which a man must be a child of God in order to be able to do. But he didn't leave any doubt. He didn't leave any doubt as to whether or not his hope was in the Lord or whether or not he had faith dwelling in him. He lived a life of faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear in the preparing of an ark to the saving of his house. You know, this summer after we get done with an appointment with Elder Jeff Patterson in Carthage, Tennessee, Lord willing, the first leg of our vacation is we're going to go see that ark. And there's some vacations where I can get a little bit more excited than the others. I'm kind of excited overall about this one because we're inland of the beach. And we're going to go a long ways out of the way to find that beach. And I'm hoping that we just stay just clean clear of it. I'm hoping that there's not the first grain of sand on my tires whenever I get back to Gordon Canyon. It'd be just fine with me. But another reason why is because I'm excited about seeing that ark. Do I need to see it to believe it? I have believed it with every ounce of my being to this point. You know, I joked with Brother Jeff and said, when we leave you, we're going to see that ark. We're going to walk by sight, not by faith. We're going to go lay our eyes on that thing. We're going to go see that thing. I believe that by faith, Noah, he built that ark. I believe that he built it by the power of God. I believe he saved his house in that ark. I believe this man is a man of faith. I believe he was by faith that he exercised and identified himself as being a child of the King. I believe that. I believe that in identifying himself as being the child of God that he was, I believe that he brought salvation to his house. I believe that his three sons and their three wives, I believe they were the only eight on the face of this earth that were delivered from the judgment of God. And that is not an eternal context. That is judgment here whenever the Lord brought forth those rains down from heaven. I believe he delivered his family in them. He's a man of faith who has chosen to be identified with his exercise of faith. God gave it to you. Whenever God gives you something, just as He gave in the parable of the talents, God does not intend to give you something so that you bury it in the ground as opposed to utilizing it here in this world. Noah didn't bury it in the ground. He was warned of God. And God gave him a warning. And by faith, Noah, he took a step in the direction of being called a fool out in this world, but yet he was willing to walk by faith as opposed to walking in the ways of the people of this world. You know, there's not a one of us that if you take a step back in time, pre-flood, if we had a neighbor building an ark, won't wonder what in the world. What in the world?
But I tell you, this man, because of the warnings of God, said, I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to walk by the faith. I'm going to be identified with the people of faith. And his sons did as well. And those that did it, we can identify them today. They chose the identity of people of faith. Noah did. He did it. You can go back to the days of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see that there was a man named Jairus who came to the Lord because of his daughter being near death because she was so sick. Here's a man that because of the illness of his daughter came to the Lord Jesus Christ and beckoned him to come and to heal his daughter. He went to the only source whereby relief could have been given. He went to the Lord to come and to heal his daughter. And there's not a one of us who has ever looked at a sick child, who has ever had a sick child, that cannot go to those verses of Scripture and find comfort that the Lord Jesus Christ can heal now just as well as He healed in those days. Whenever you consider Jairus and this man, whenever you consider what he was up against, here he did, what could he have done? He could have turned to the physicians of this world. He could have done all of those things that by nature we do. But that's not what he did. He turned to the Lord and he exercised his faith. You ever notice that whenever he called the Lord to come to his house that Jesus tarried? You ever caught that? Why? Because there was another woman of faith who had an issue of blood of 12 years. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she came and she touched the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just by touching the hem of the garments, she was brought forth and healed there in the midst of that in the midst of the throng that had come about the Lord Jesus Christ. What was she? Jairus, man of faith. This woman that had an issue of blood that was healed. What was she? She was a woman of faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole, is what the Lord Jesus Christ turned to her and said unto her. Jairus' daughter was healed because of the faith of her father, because of the exercise of faith of her father. How did he choose to be identified? He chose to be identified as a child of the King. An identity. You know, these days, people think that whenever you encourage people with an identity, you're telling them to go out and go buy a bumper sticker for their car. I'm not doing that. Even though it does kind of make for a good trip up and down the interstate, just sort of be entertained and see what everybody else has got on theirs. Just kind of be able to see who somebody wanted to be president and who somebody didn't want to be a lot of times. and what somebody thinks about the one that we've got. But I'm not encouraging you this morning whenever I say to consider the label of the faithful child of the King for your children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. To put a label on your car. I'm talking about walking in this world with Him and literally trusting Him. Blind Bartimaeus, another example. The list could go on and on, not only in the new but in the old, of those that exercise their faith. And in doing so, thereby confirmed in the eyes of the ones around them and in their own minds that they belong to God by grace. You know, the Apostle Peter worded it this way. He charged the people of God to make their calling and election sure. To make their calling and election sure. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Just a second. Because this will play right on in down to the next two labels. 10 of 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make thy calling and election sure. You know, some people see that and they read that and they say, you better believe we got two. We have to make sure that God knows that we're His. We got to make sure that God is aware that we belong to Him. Is that where this surety needs to be made? Is God telling us to make something sure to God? You remember what David said regarding the covenant that God had made with him? Although my house be not so with God. Yet the Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. I'll tell you by the authority of this word this morning, God has never told you to make something sure to God that He's already made sure by the blood of His own Son. Jesus Christ was the surety for your home in heaven, and it's paid in full. It's an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. That's what this word tells us about glory. But He tells us to make our calling and election sure. The reason why I don't believe this is talking about glory is one of the main reasons why is because He tells you to give diligence to make it. Wherefore, the rather, give diligence to make that calling and election sure. Whenever you're told to give diligence, that is a fervent labor, a fervent work is what He's calling on you to do. He says, give diligence to make thy calling and election sure. If you're willing to believe that His surety is in glory, then you need to be willing to say that your works are going to assure your home in heaven. But that doesn't work that way. For by grace you save through faith, but that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Who has saved us and called us, what? Not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Heaven is not given unto us by our works. It's given unto us by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our surety in our minds because of the devil's work upon them here in this world is based upon our faithful walk with the One that did save us from our sins. Give diligence to make thy calling and election sure. Add unto thy faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance godliness, and godliness brotherly love. These are things that we're called upon to do to identify not only with the identity that others see us, but to identify ourselves and assure our confidence in our mind that Jesus Christ died for us. Now there's times you can live apart from God. You go and stoop your life in the filth of this world. You go and say, I'm a child of grace. I'm going to glory anyway. So I'm going to go see how much I can live it up in this world. I'm going to go see how much filth I can be involved in. I'm going to go see how many nightclubs I can hit in this town. And by the way, there's no shortage of them. There's no shortage of places where you can go and indulge and feed your Adamic fleshly nature to its full. This world is not slacking in those, I can promise you that. As you go on down through time, as we await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe more and more of them will be prominent places where they're available to you. You pay the cover fare, they'll be glad to give you a ticket in. You can do just as Jonah did whenever he went down unto Nineveh. He went down to Joppa. And whenever he boarded that boat, he paid the fare thereof. You can pay your fare straight to hell by going through those doors. And you know what context of hell I'm talking about. You can do it. You can do it. And in the process of doing it, in the process of inebriating yourself, in the process of just seeing how much you can drink, how much you can indulge, how much you can live it up. You tell me after a little while in that lifestyle how close you feel to God. You tell me whether or not you feel closer to this world and closer to the filth thereof as opposed to closer to the Lord Jesus Christ who paid for your sins on the cross at Calvary. You have a choice in that matter. And you can live apart from it. And the Scripture says that he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You can get to a point where you lose that fellowship with the Lord, where you lose that identity that He's calling upon those of faith to have. We're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I tell you though, I like to feel close to Him. You know, there's times when I long to feel the presence of God. There's times whenever I long to feel the presence of my children. Some nights whenever I've had a rough day, sometimes all I can think about during the day is I'm going to be home for a while, after a while with my young'uns. and I'm gonna get into bed with one of them, and I'm gonna get his hair up under my nose, and I'm gonna smell, and I'm just gonna smell that head and snuggle in there with him, and I'm gonna feel close to one of mine because I want to. You know, sometimes I feel that way whenever it comes to fellowship with the Lord. I just want to get to his house. I just want to hear that song leader strike a chord with that first hymn. I just want to hear those hymns once again. I just want to hear that good old gospel story once again. I just want to feel nigh and feel close to the presence of God. I just want to exercise and to walk in that faith that I believe that I'm privileged enough to be able to have, not because of anything that I've done, but because He saw fit to bless me with it. And I'm thankful to be able to have the opportunity to walk in it. I pray that whenever somebody sees me, that they see somebody that they believe is a child of faith. Somebody that is identifying themselves as with the faithful in Christ Jesus. You know, if you look for approval from this world, you'll look for something that you'll never get. If you look for approval from those who have not been blessed to be able to see what you've seen, you'll await a day that will not come. The only way sometimes that you can experience what it means to be able to walk by faith is to exercise that faith and to walk to the one who gave it to you and to walk with Him in it. You're identified as being a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You know, there's another thing that these verses tell us over in Galatians chapter 3 regarding identity. He speaks to us regarding baptism in verse 27. He says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, I'll be the first to tell you that I've heard some faithful men that I have respect for, that if they preached it here, it's not going to hear a word out of me, that they don't see these verses as being identity. They see this baptism as being the new birth. And provided that they teach the principle of the new birth, fine. They don't hear anything out of me. I just believe the context is identity. I believe it flows directly from whenever the Scripture tells us regarding the schoolmaster and being justified by faith, that here we go right into what assures us and brings us this assurance into our minds and in our lives. Not only do we have it when we exercise faith, you also receive it whenever you identify yourself with Jesus Christ in water baptism. The mode of baptism was given because it's a figure of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a figure of just as He died. And, you know, somebody said, "Well, how do you know that the eyes, somebody closing their eyes has..." I've never seen anybody get baptized with their eyes wide open. Have y'all ever seen anybody just open their eyes, you know, wide, just to... Most of the time what they do, whenever the hand says they close their eyes, they go down into the water, and I've never seen any of them get left down in the water. They come up out of the water. It's a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus gave His apostles, which principle carried forward to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go over to Matthew chapter 28, it is often given and stated as being the commission of Jesus Christ. He tells us in the closing verses of Matthew chapter 28, "For them to go ye therefore," verses 19 and 20 of Matthew 28, "go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Notice that before they're baptized, they're taught. They're taught. This book teaches us about a believer's baptism. That is, ones who have been taught and ones who have professed that they believe what they've been taught. You know, there's a lot of well-meaning people today that when their child is born, they take them somewhere, and a priest takes his hand down in some
a bowl of water and just kind of sprinkles water over their face. And, you know, they call it baptism. You know, that was one of the early things that began to separate the Church of Christ from the church at Rome, was that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ refused to accept and acknowledge that infant baptism was scriptural. Because the reason why was not only because the Scripture plainly teaches us that it's the believer that's baptized. If thou believest, thou mayest, is what Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip didn't tell that Ethiopian eunuch to sit right here. There's some water down there. I can go get a cup full of it and pour a little bit over your head. He said that there was water there, and they stopped the chariot and they got in and they went down into the water. They went down into that water. Which tells me that just as Jesus went into the Jordan River and was baptized, they went down into the water and performed and exercised baptism just as we do now. But the reason why the early church would not recognize it was not only because the Scripture teaches believers baptism and not infant baptism, but when someone exercises infant baptism, then they're under the impression that unless somebody goes through that act, that they're not going to go home to glory. Do you believe that this morning? That unless someone passes through the waters of baptism, that they are not going to be granted eternal heaven? No, we don't believe that. We believe that baptism is an exercise that is done by the believer now to deliver them and their conscience now. It's not about something further on. It's about something here in this time work. It is not because of the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. You know, I appreciate a good conscience in a child. I wish my 6-month-old would have had a real good conscience about the noise that he was, making us endure all the way home yesterday. I wish that something would have crossed his mind and said, wow, if this is loud to me, it's probably really loud to everybody else in this car. And boy, it was. It was. It'll bring you to the point of going mad just about. If you've ever thought that you were about to go there to listen to screaming for just about 3.5 or 4 hours, it'll bring you to the brink. But we know and understand that an infant cannot be brought to the point of having an answer of a good conscience towards God. He says that you would teach them, teach all nations, and then baptize them. You teach them, then you baptize them. And you baptize them because they profess to believe what you're teaching to them. And you teach this word unto them. He tells us over in Galatians chapter 3 in the 27th verse, he says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. And in other words, you've exercised that good conscience towards God, and you're identifying that you believe that as He was died, that He died for you, that when He was buried, that you were in that grave with Him, and whenever He came up out of that grave, that you were in Him from that point. I'm identifying with Him. It's an identity thing. You identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you ever thought that when Jesus was baptized, it's recorded in the early portion of His ministry in Mark chapter 1. You know, Mark picks up immediately with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, up to this point, you don't see that Jesus had done the miracles that He would eventually do. He did them. I mentioned some of them earlier. You know, John chapter 2 records the first one that He did whenever He turned the water into wine. And He records that, and the Scripture records those miracles for us. But, you know, whenever He came forth to be baptized of John, none of those things had been done yet. None of them. It was the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the beginning. And whenever He came forth and He was baptized, having done not any of those other things, His Father cried from heaven and declared that this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know, a lot of people believe that somehow you've got to go through several, they don't feel like they've arrived and that they're worthy enough to go through the waters of baptism yet. Maybe they haven't done enough to warrant a baptism. But here in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, His labors commenced from baptism. Baptism is not the conclusion of the works, it's the beginning thereof. And I believe just as God declared unto those present when Jesus was baptized that He was pleased with it, I believe He's pleased whenever one of His little children passed through the waters of baptism today. Not only because they have answered in their good conscience toward God, but because they have chosen to be identified with Jesus Christ. It's an identity. You can identify with Him through your exercise of faith. You can identify with Him through following through with the commandment to be baptized. You know, it's not something that you can just tell somebody to do and then feel like that's worthy enough. You know, if the only reason why anybody's ever baptized, I'll tell parents this, because we got a lot of young children in here. There's a lot of things that you don't need to force your children to do. It won't benefit you at all. You encourage them in walking with the Lord. And whenever they come, you know, I remember when little Isla wanted to join the church. She came 6 months before she ever joined here. And whenever she came and she told me she wanted to join, I asked her, I said, do you feel like you're a sinner? And she said, well, sometimes. And, you know, in a way, that's kind of a right answer, but I knew what she meant, which kind of let me know we needed to give it some time. Whenever she came to the conclusion that she's a sinner, and that without the work of the Lord upon her and saving her from that sin, there was no hope for her. And there is no hope outside of the Lord delivering you from it. But whenever we consider the mode, it's not something that you can force someone into, because it won't do them any good. But whenever they do decide that they want to take on the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the worst things that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ can do is to frustrate somebody that wants to do it. You know, somebody came up to me at a church meeting we were at back in the summer, and our children had been at church all weekend, and that elderly couple came to us, and she came up to me and she said, I appreciate what y'all are doing with your children, and I'm not telling you this to try to hold a banner up for myself. I'm using this story as an example of what's not right to do. And they came and they said, and this was, you know, a church that was not many. The children are few and far between there, I'll put it that way. And she said, I'm so happy that y'all bring the children to church. She said, we brought ours, but we didn't meet every Sunday. And while we went on the Sundays we didn't meet, we didn't make them go on the Sundays we didn't meet. And she said, when my little girl was 7 years old, she wanted to join the church. And our pastor at the time told her she was too young, that she could not join the church because she was too young. I want to tell you, it's not about age whenever it comes to one that believes. The Scripture says, if thou believest, thou mayest. And I believe if someone can profess a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd be wrong in saying that they cannot be granted the waters of baptism. But it's not something that you can make a child walk into. It's not something you can make an adult walk into. But I'll tell you this, as long as the church asks for me to stand before you and be your pastor, I'll tell you this by the authority of this word. I'll encourage you to the nth degree, if you never have been baptized, to be baptized and to join the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the answer of a good conscience toward God. You know, there was a lot of things that went on the day that my wife and I went in the waters of baptism to try to distract from the joy of being a part of the church and identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil came out in full force that day to try to disturb the joy. But I tell you, I never have looked back upon that day and said, I wish I wouldn't have done what I did. I believe that the Lord has blessed me to have confirmation and assurance through that work that was done that day whenever I was baptized. The Scripture tells us that those that have been baptized, they have put on Christ Jesus. You've identified yourself with the Lord through baptism. There's two of them. He says through faith and through baptism, you can identify with the Lord. The last one is through laying down whatever cause that you think you need to have, you can identify with the Lord. Because He reminds us here in this verse 28 that when it comes to nationalities, there's neither Jew nor Greek, So you have Jew, Gentile. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor free. You see, there's a lot of causes that people take on in this world. You know, I've used this as an example. I think they're known as a group of their what the world calls to be white supremacist people, the Aryan nation. And, you know, they dedicate their whole life to promoting the advancement of and the superiority of the white race. You also, on the other side, you have some who are, and sometimes a man in my position ain't got any other choice than to just tell it like it is. And if somebody wants to take a minute out of a tape and go and claim that I've said this or that, then I guess those are just the bruises that come with the job. But you know, there's liberal women in our world that they cannot identify themselves outside of the window of saying that they're a woman in need of being liberated by from the force that exists around them. So there you have two examples on two ends of the extreme. Whenever it comes to your service to the Lord, bond nor free either. Not only male nor female. Now, don't use this verse to try to justify that there's not a difference between man and woman. There is a difference between them. God set the difference. He not only set the difference between a man and a woman, He set a difference between the service of a man and of a woman. A man tried to use this verse towards me one time to justify a woman being a preacher. And I'd say, well, then Paul just disturbed his own word, because he also told Timothy that he suffered a woman not to teach, nor to usurp authority over a man. So how can he tell Timothy that and turn around and use that verse in this context here? That's not the context. There is a difference. There is a difference. But whenever it comes to identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't use the difference to promote who you are. You use Jesus to promote who you are. There's neither bond nor free. You know, one of the things that a lot of people don't understand whenever we consider bond or free is that in the early days of this country, in the early Baptist church, are y'all aware that there were slaves that were members of the church? They were. You can see it in the minutes. The minutes I've seen it in is in Bowling Springs Church down in Milton. You can see that after that church was constituted, the first person who joined the church after the constitution of the church was a black man. It was a black man who was a slave. Now you tell me, a black man that was a slave, whenever he joined the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, was he a slave when he joined the church? Or was he identifying himself as being with the Lord Jesus Christ whenever he joined the church? There's neither bond nor free whenever it comes to identifying with the Lord's cause and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not whenever you consider the church. You know, go with me back to Acts chapter 13 briefly. And to see here about the leaders at the church at Antioch. Read their names. There was in the church that was at Antioch, verse 1, certain prophets and teachers. Okay? There was Barnabas. He's the first one listed. The next one that is listed, his name was Simeon, that was called Niger. Now, I think that anybody that is familiar with either Greek or English can probably tell you what the color of Simeon was. He was called black because he was a black man. And people would say, now Brother Will, I'm not getting off into a sociology sermon this morning. There's a difference between men and women. I believe God has established some difference in the races of man. I believe He did it at the Tower of Babel when He scattered them abroad.
And they went forth and they established the nations that a lot of things are observed today. And I think there's a lot of chaos that can ensue if you don't observe them. Whenever it comes to service to the Lord Jesus Christ, is that your cause that you put forward first? Whether it be race or whether it be gender, whether it be whatever your cause is, or do you identify with the service of God? Because He said there is neither bond nor free. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female, but we are all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. One in Him. You know, there's differences here. There's differences of opinion about this. Differences of opinion about that. You know, I haven't heard a difference of opinion that I said I couldn't live with. But now, I won't say I never have, but I'll say in general, whenever I'm talking about differences in personalities, there's a difference there. But whenever it comes to what we are in our service to the Lord, we should all be one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And say, if that man lives a godly life, I'll identify with that man, no matter what his nationality may be. You know, I was out to eat one time with a preacher. We were in town for a meeting. And he just came over. He knew the man I was sitting with was a preacher. And he came over and he sat with us. He was a man of a different color than me and the preacher I was eating with. And he came over and he sat with us. And he began to ask the preacher that I was sitting with some questions about the Bible. And I'm going to tell you what, that man began to feast on grace in a way that I had rarely seen up to that point. It reminded me a lot about the way that I felt whenever I first came into contact with the Lord's church. I mean, the truth just, it's like he couldn't get enough of it. Question after question after question. And this was a church-going man. And you know, whenever the conversation ended, I remember mentioning to that minister, I said, "You almost convinced that man, I think, to believe the truth." I said, "Wouldn't surprise me if that man wanted to be a part of the Lord's church." And I remember him saying, "I don't know if we can do that, Brother Will." And I remember just being so disappointed at that response. That would be the concern of someone as opposed to seeing the truth. You know, over in Birmingham, Alabama, about 10 years ago, there was a man who had come to America to attend seminary school. His first name was Obey, and I don't know how to pronounce his last, so I'm going to leave it there. And that man, as he attended that seminary school over there, him being from Africa, he saw a church named Primitive Baptist Church. And he began to wonder about what those folks believed that were Primitive Baptists. Who are they? Who are these people that are Primitive Baptists? And he began to go. And he began to attend. And whenever he began to hear the message of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, see, all up to this point, he had been told that all his ancestors, they were without hope. There was no hope for them. The motivation they were giving him to go and to learn Christianity was that he would be able to take that gospel back to those and save those over there, because there was no hope to the generation before him. But this man knew that he saw the godliness in his parents and in his grandparents. As he began to read more about this book, he began to see the identity of Jesus in them, even though they were void of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were ignorant of it. They were more involved with the idolatry and other things of that nature that exist over in that part of the country. But he began to hear the message of grace that gave hope to him. And whenever that man heard those messages, he joined the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the goal in mind and with the burden upon his heart that he was going to take that message back across to those people that he had left. He came to America to get a seminary education. But he left America with an old Baptist learning in the truth. And churches were established because him being grafted into the truth.
And the reason why we can believe that the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important is because of what this says. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Do not leave here and say that Brother Will says there's not a difference. There is neither male nor female. Don't leave here saying that Brother Will says there's not a difference. There is a difference. But whenever it comes to the truth, the Lord can call it in any nationality that He chooses to. And I say that by the authority of this Word. You can look at Simeon of Antioch. You can look at the Ethiopian eunuch. And they were both partakers of the Lord's truth. And they were of a different nationality. You know, whenever you come to the conclusion of this, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? What He's doing is giving you assurance that if you, through faith, are exercising your faith and walking with the Lord, if you've answered Him in a good conscience towards God, if we are all of one in the Lord Jesus Christ, here's your confirmation. Now, I tell you this, people don't have a lot of confirmation sometimes. Does that take them out of being the seed in the seed of Abraham in the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't have the confirmation and you do? That's not what we believe. But I'm not encouraging you to not have the confirmation and the assurance. I'm encouraging you to have it. And the more you experience, the more your experience matches up with what your position is, the more joy you have in your life, the more your identity matches what you are. You know, I started out by saying that people are confused in an identity crisis like we're in this world. There's a reason why the suicide rate is astronomical with them. There's a reason why they're miserable. And it's because their experience does not line up with their position. But the child of God that will live by faith, the child of God that will answer in a clear conscience towards God, the child of God that will say, we're one in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have joy in their life through the assurance that you are Abraham's seed. I tell you, child of God, if you rejoice in these things this morning, the confirmation is given unto you. You don't need me to give it to you. You've been given it in your minds. And there is a justification and an assurance and a confidence that matters in the mind of the child of grace. That's what your pastor battles with. See, you've got all these other forces that hit you. And all these, you know, you got 7 days or 6 days on the internet listening to the geniuses and the fine research people on the internet that love to convince you of things that are opposite of this book. And I get 1 hour. I get 1 hour with your mind. They get 6 days, if that's what you spend your time doing, of telling you why you should question the Word, why you should question the church, why you should question your pastor and everybody. I get an hour. But I'll tell you this. The battle is with the mind. The Lord has already bought and paid for your soul and your body, and you're going to glory to be with Him. But if the Lord will bless me to be able to do it, I want you to experience some joy in your heart and in your mind here in this world. And that's what Paul closes out Galatians chapter 3 with. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
Or we can ride the soul.